Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome to today's episode of Youth Station. I am Zainab, and in the studio with me, I am joined by my brother in faith and humanity,
Brother Habib.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. How
are you doing? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm just going to ask it anyway, since we're talking about it. Imam al-Hussein left Medina because there was a lot of pressure on him. They started threatening his life, and then he probably didn't want hell to break loose all over again in Medina.
Of course, in Medina, they
but then it
kill him.
Did afterwards anyway, bro.
Let's talk like this. That he, you know, let's talk like the apparent
when
reasons.
When Yazid attacked Medina during the time of Imam al-Sajjad, the atrocities.
What I want to say here is that Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew he was going to get killed.
Yeah.
Person who knows that he's going to get killed, assassined, what does he do? Does he stay? Or like any other Muslim, he goes to the safest place on earth.
But they hunted him down.
We're going there. That's a musibah. That's the hardships of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why do we cry? Why do we cry and do majalis? People asking him why. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was one of the people who also left Medina.
Because
he was
going to
get assassinated.
Away this madness, yeah.
Yeah, so he also went to Mecca.
Where was Abdullah ibn Umar?
Abdullah ibn Umar kind of, you know, accepted the fact that Yazid is the caliph. That this
he was like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And he doesn't care. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam reaches Mecca, he remains there for a couple of months.
4 months and five
days. Then they try to assassinate him.
Again. In
Imam
the safest
Hussein
place in
asked by Muhammad ibn Hanafi, this question that you have in your mind, that the safest place on earth, Muhammad ibn Hanafi says, this is the safest place on earth. Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself states that they kill me outside, shibr, a couple of inches, outside of Mecca, is better than them killing me inside of Mecca.
So Imam
al-Hussein, he knew.
They were going to play
dirty. They're going to kill him, but it's the matter of, you know, dragging them away.
It was him respecting the sanctity
exactly,
of Mecca.
Exactly.
He was like, I don't
Abdullah
want my
Abdullah ibn Zubayr did not respect it.
Yeah, exactly.
Abdullah ibn Zubayr remained inside Mecca
and
forced Yazid to attack Mecca and
Kaaba,
and demolish the Kaaba as well. That's a stupid move from Yazid as well.
He revealed himself, didn't he? He exposed himself. For the blasphemous
he was exposed. He did drink in front of everyone. He did do this and that in front of everyone. Where do I go now?
He would go Kufa.
Why Kufa?
Invitation.
Exactly.
12,000 letters.
He sent Muslim ibn Aqil to check out the...
But he sent Qais before that even.
Yeah, but he sent Muslim ibn Aqil.
Immediately, yeah.
The big story. He sent them to Kufa to check out what's up, right? He sends them a message. All right, yeah, people are ready for you. Then they betray him.
Yeah.
They betray
him.
Oh,
man. When I think about Muslim, though, helplessness of that
look,
moment.
Look. Hopelessness. You say this word hopelessness. Imagine who Muslim ibn Aqil is.
Exactly.
Muslim ibn Aqil is one of the heads of the Arabs. Ashraf. Respected.
Nobleman, yeah.
Sitting down. Thirsty. Not knowing what to do.
Betrayed, abandoned, stabbed in the back, yeah.
And Imam Hussein, knowing Imam Hussein is coming, is on the way. He can't send a message. He has to go out. And people are trying to kill him. And they kill him. And they do kill him. And he fought by himself in the army. The bravery.
When I think about it, that moment, he was like, this is it. This is what it boils down to.
And then Imam Hussein receives the news a little late, right?
Of Muslim's death.
And where does he try to go? Either Yemen or someplace else. The army of Hur ibn Yazid come and block his way. In Dhul Hasim or Dhul Jasim or Dhul Chasib. It's a different, they're different.
Because for those who are familiar with Arabic, right? The dots, if they're moved, the letter changes.
Changes, the meaning changes as well. But it's available between Mecca and Kufa. It's closer to Kufa, a couple of miles away from Kufa. They come and they try to take, Hur tries to take Imam Hussein as a prisoner to
Hur.
He tries to bring him back to Kufa. He tries to take him to Kufa as a prisoner to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And Imam Hussein does not accept. He tries to move this way, that way. He tries to go to change the path to go to Yemen until they reach Karbala.
Exactly. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did all of that. He was stalling because he really didn't want his blood on these people's hands.
Yes.
He's like, rahmatullah al-wasa. He's the vast mercy.
He does not start the war. They were not set to kill. The army of
Hur. Just to apprehend him.
Yes. And Imam Hussein knew. And that is why the only weapon that they used was the whip.
Mm.
Both of them used whips on each other.
So Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam came this far. You can analyze it however you want, from whatever angle, based on whatever ideology and inclination you have, right? Because there are like Orientalists, historians, they look at it and they're like, oh, Hussein's movement was like a political crusade. Right, it was a fight between powers, and he wanted to make a statement, and he wasn't so successful, and he died. Right, but and then there are those who these are like the Orientalists, like far Western people that are just studying Asian history and culture. Right,
the horse of Imam Hussein, as we believe, right, Shi'as believe, in Kamil al-Ziyarat, it's available that the horse, when he saw the killing of Imam Hussein, hamhama. He made that sound that horses usually make.
Nee, yeah.
The translation of it was al-zalima, al-zalima min ummatan qatalat ibn binti nabiyya.
Meaning
oppression, triante.
Mm.
These people have killed the son of the daughter of the Prophet. So it's talking about, there's this zalima, there's this oppression about it.
The fact, yeah, the oppression.
Imam Hussein
factor.
Was oppressed. He exited Medina oppressed. He exited Mecca oppressed. He was taken to Karbala as a prisoner oppressed.
Yeah, but mostly the thing about it is that he was oppressed because he was the justice.
Like he was the solution to all the Islamic problems.
I mean, the point is not to say that, oh my God, I am Imam al-Hussein, everyone cry for me, I'm so oppressed. What the statement that he was trying to make is that I was the truth, the absolute truth, infinite truth.
True.
And they were so bothered by this truth that they slaughtered it in cold blood.
Yes.
This is the statement I'm trying to make. Don't let this happen again. Guess what? It keeps happening anyway.
Pretty much the lesson that we should take is to follow the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave our desires alone.
It's so hard,
look,
though.
It's so, exactly.
But then hope happens and you're like, there's hope.
Yeah. See, we didn't have the throne underneath our hands. We're not even close to a throne.
And Hur was like, he was hella big deal. He was Hur a general.
Hur ibn Riyah came, not only did he come to Imam Hussein, he got on his foot.
Yeah, he got down
on
his
knees. Begging Imam Hussein to forgive him.
And Imam al-Hussein accepted him so graciously, as if nothing had happened. Hur, we're cool, man. Come on, bro. You know?
And he's the one that imprisoned him to Karbala.
Exactly. He was the one who caused all of this, per se.
Yeah, the last part, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they sent Hur because they knew Hur could get it done.
He was
a big shot. He was a general. People respected him. People bowed for him. He was from Banu Asad. Yeah. He was a big deal. And then he has a change of heart.
Yes.
Within one night, he's like, what the hell are you doing, bro? How to pour yourself together? This is the son of Fatima. And then on the other hand, you have Umar bin Sa'd, which was Imam al-Hussein's playmate. And you're like, I am so confusion.
There's also this man that was available.
How can this happen? It's so scary.
There's
if we don't
this,
study it enough.
There was also this story. I don't know if you've heard it or not before. A man was fighting with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala.
Alongside him?
Alongside him. The name ran away from my mind now. He was fighting with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then when he saw that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was going to lose.
He was like, what's the point?
Y'all
going to die anyway.
I came, Ya Hussein, I came to you and I pledged allegiance to you that if you won, if you were successful, or if you had enough army, that I will fight with you.
I'd serve you.
I would serve you. But now you don't have nothing.
I'm going to die anyway.
Goodbye.
You're going to die anyway. What's the point of me?
Goodbye. And he goes away.
Scary, bro.
He goes away.
It's scary.
And the complete opposite where two brothers, young brothers, standing against the enemies, Imam Hussein al-Islam's last breath, on his last breath, they ask themselves a simple question. Isn't this the son of Fatima?
He's going to die and we're going to remain alive?
Yeah, why are we fighting him? Aren't we Muslims? So they turn their back and defend.
everything about Muharram, everything about
there's
Ashura.
There's also Hamham. I have to talk about Hamham.
Who?
Hamham. He comes late. He reaches where the...
Everything was said and
the
done.
Smoke was available from the tents and everything. He comes and he says, what happened? To the army. He came on the opposite side. He says, what happened? He said, Qutil al-Husayn. He takes out his sword and starts fighting. They say, stop, what are you doing?
He's dead.
Everything is over. He says, who's going to defend this woman? Who's going to defend this woman?
That's exactly it, isn't it? When it's the truth, it doesn't matter when you reach it.
The truth
you
doesn't
defend
die.
It.
The light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
exactly,
does not go off.
Exactly, that's the thing. That's what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was trying to do. He was trying to set this universal example,
it was
right?
Imam or Hafhaf, I forgot the name. Imam al-Husayn Abdin alayhi salam calls him one of the bravest men he knew. Imagine yourself. At least 10,000.
One person against this whole 10,000
people
army.
In the middle of their army. Yeah, in the middle of their army. They've just killed.
The most precious person on earth.
Yes, and they're ready to kill anyone.
Anyone else.
And you take out your sword and you defend.
Yeah, exactly. That's the truth. The truth, what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was trying to say to us is that when it comes to the truth, it doesn't matter when you reach, you defend it. You stand up. Because a lot of people, I feel that, and God, subhanallah, subhanalladhi khalaq al-Husayn. Every aspect of Ashura, every action, every behavior, every conduct, every single word that was delivered by Imam al-Husayn and his companions is a life lesson. Life lesson for every aspect of your life. Because I know a lot of people feel like, oh, I've lived a life of sin. It's too late for me. And then Imam al-Husayn sends you someone like Hur, sends you like someone like this gentleman that you talked about. He reached when everyone was killed, but he was like, well, I got to do something. Right?
Yeah.
It just comes to prove that it's never too late. Imam al-Husayn, he paved the way for generations until the end of time to be able to find their way back to God again with what he did. That's what he did. That's what he did when he left Medina and he left Mecca and he was like, oh, fine, we'll go to Karbala. And you know, so everyone could find their way back home, that blazing beacon of guidance and that arc of salvation when you're gasping for air in the depths of a stormy, wild, ruthless sea and all the waves are beating you down and you feel like that's it. I don't have any strength to fight these temptations, to fight the peer pressure, to fight the influence, to fight my nafs, to fight the sins. Imam al-Husayn comes along and tells you, yeah, it's time to save you now. There's so much more we can talk about the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, but we're out of time.
Unfortunately, out of time.
Unfortunately.
So we took this message from Imam Husayn alayhi salam that he is the truth and they are the guardians of Islam and the true religion and the reality. It saves us on the Day of Judgment. And we should get closer to him during these times. And that is
Inshallah.
Why we have these various reports.
Morning sessions, yeah.
Morning sessions, various reports about the blessings of crying for Imam Husayn.
Because it revives something in the heart.
Yes.
Guys, don't underestimate it. Don't underestimate it. Don't forsake it. Don't take it for granted. No matter how tired, how busy you are, even if you can just spare 15 minutes a day to commemorate Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and declare your love to him in one form or another, do it because it's going to seal your salvation in this world and the next, and you don't want to miss out on that. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Youth Station. Until another greeting, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty.